You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
They are coming to us live from Naarm, Melbourne. They're part of a band called Mellowing, who have just put out their debut album, Some Things Can't Be Unsaid, which merges emo and math rock and shapes them into a gorgeous hybrid. And then some. We have Mia Sansom and Riley Ellidis from the band coming on the program. Good morning to both of you. How are we?
Morning.
Good morning.
Good. How are you?
I'm super chill. Super chill. Did I get your last name right, Riley? Is it Ellidis or Ellidice?
Oh, it's Ellidice.
It's Ellidice! Yeah. I pride myself on pronouncing my guests' last names properly. I'm so sorry. I'm a big goofer goober. I want to know, how were your holidays? The festive season's just come and went. What did y'all get up to?
Honestly, lots of Mellowing stuff. Haven't had a whole lot of holidays because it's been mostly album preparation, which has been awesome.
Mean.
Lots of mixing and mastering and checking mixes and practicing and writing new songs. Lots of that kind of stuff.
Mean. And how about you, Riley? Same thing?
Yeah, it was actually my birthday over the course of the new year. My birthday is like 30th of December, so got a tiny little break, which is good, but lots of work. Got to put the work in, you know.
Mm-hmm. What are your opinions on having, you know, a birthday really close to Christmas? Do you love it? Do you hate it? Are you not bothered?
Oh, I kind of love it, but like everyone was really excited for my birthday and we wanted to go camping and just like everyone was out camping everywhere because like my birthday was happening.
Mm.
Nah, it's kind of good being close to the new year, but also I feel like some people get like doubled up presents, but
that's not fair.
I cancel that, you know.
Birthday and Christmas, even if they're on the same day, two different things.
Yes.
That's my philosophy.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. You should, if your birthday is really close to Christmas, you should hold a spiritual birthday exactly 6 months before or after Christmas. That's my philosophy, my personal philosophy.
Yeah,
I love the title on this thing, Some Things Can't Be Unsaid. Do you think with this album that you've processed some of the things you might have heard that can't be unsaid? That's a very open question to both of you.
It's a great question.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know, that's a tough one. What would you say?
I would say so. I think there's been a couple of things happen on this journey of making this band where we've had to kind of make some decisive choices about who we have come along with this journey. And sometimes people throw stuff around and we're not of the belief that you can take back some stuff you say, I guess. So
yes,
we have hopefully processed it. Maybe we haven't. Maybe we're still really cut.
See, I think you can take this name in like a couple of directions. You can be like, oh, someone said something horrible to me. Or it's like, right, I've made a commitment. I can't back out on that. Where do you fall on those two different kind of opinions?
I would say it's kind of an amalgamation of both.
Mm.
I think we've had to, along this journey, the past 2 years, we've had to make some really difficult decisions and have some difficult conversations, and that's I feel like that comes through in our music. But then again, we've also
committed to each other have to really be on each other's side and like be like, yeah, like let's do it, we can't undo this stuff, we got to keep going through. So
we got to advocate for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's mean. It does seem like you're a big barrel of support. I mean, I read that lovely ode to 2025 that you guys put out on your Instagram. It was so cozy. It was so warm. And it was great to see a band be like, I love you, man. Yeah, I love you, man. I love you. That was so sweet.
Thank you.
That was very, very nice.
I think that's something I really love about our band is that we are just a group of friends that make music.
Mm.
I think that really heightens the connection that we have and the music that we make, because we just get to hang out and all have a mutual love of music, which just makes it really special.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're all a bunch of big sweeties.
And one of the things we get commented on a lot when we play live is how much you can tell we have chemistry, and you can just tell that we're friends. And I think that's my favorite thing to hear after a song.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the music here, because the opener, Wedding Riff, has this very, very sunny kind of sound to it. It features a classic fusion of, like, shoegazy, emo, math, rocky vibes with a few lyrics that really become mantras after a while. Is it called Wedding Riff because it's like, you know, are you going to use it at a wedding? Did you think about it when you're at a wedding? Is that how it came about? What's the origin of the name?
Yeah, our guitarist Rain, they were at a wedding and they weren't having the best of times, yeah. I guess. And they wanted to, you know, go off and have a little time to themselves. And they went to like this fire out not near where everyone was for the reception. And there was a guitar there and they just wrote the riff. And yeah, it was, we'd already written a song before, mm-hmm. and a couple of people heard it and said we should start a band. And then this was the second song we came up with ever. So
yeah, we were all just sitting in a room, potentially trying to make a song after that first song that we made, and Rain brought in that classic riff, the wedding riff. And we made the song around that, and I think we made it in one day, didn't we?
Yeah.
The instrumental part of the song,
yes.
Which is generally how we do most of our writing. And then lyrics come second.
I totally get that, because something I really enjoy about this project is that you are pretty instrumental based. There's not a lot of vocals on this thing. I mean, there's I think one or two songs on here that don't even have any vocals. Some of the songs maybe have like one or two paragraphs worth of lyrics. You know, did that approach develop from the inception of the band, or did you just kind of find it worked when you were making the music?
I think after a while we settled into that style of writing. The first song that we made had a lot more vocals in it, and it was very, very wordy to a fault. I would say I got a bit stuck performing it just by how many words I had to say while I was performing.
Rap it.
Exactly, that is what I was doing. And it didn't really work. I think that we tried to make it work, and we figured out that we just like making music, like the music side of it, less so the lyrics. And
yeah, making the small amount of stuff, we will say, quite impactful.
Yeah.
With all the space.
Yeah.
And the way the flowing of the music makes you feel emotionally before we just, like, hopefully smash your guts in with some sad lyrics.
Totally.
And also, it's hard to play live. And
yeah, trying to, yeah, sing it. We don't have, like, a dedicated vocalist. Like,
yeah.
We all have to, I sing on the drums, and Rain also sings on the guitar. Mia sings on the guitar as well.
It's a very communal effort.
Yeah, for sure. It's awesome.
We also all like to try and have some words during a set. Like, we usually get Mads to into our bassist to introduce the band and stuff. So, yeah, I think we do like having equal division of labor.
Yeah, nice. Nice. That's great. It's like in Bug's Life when the ants. I don't know why that reference came into mind. No, I know why that reference came into mind, because I was looking at your album cover, which is great. You've got like some really kind of leafy watercolors, and then you've got some black ants all over the top of the leafy watercolors.
That is a fantastic connection.
Thank you. How does the like album cover represent the themes all over this thing, do you reckon?
Honestly, like, we got our mate Daria Erskine Lilly to do the album cover right at the start of this project. Like, we started making this project,
I think it was before we even
had
the idea of,
would have been right at the end of 2024, start of 2025.
Yeah.
And I saw one of their artworks, because she's a tattoo artist, and I just saw these like bugs. I was like, these are really nice. Can you do some ants marching, please? And then we got lots of iterations, and lots of different backgrounds and stuff, and it was able to really tie all the singles with the album together, colors and stuff. But yeah, I guess like hard work, team.
Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Teens, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, you...
I guess we are kind of giving Ant.
Yeah. Oh, man. One track on here I particularly liked was the record Fear and Posing in Port Fairy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is Port Fairy a real place? And I Googled it, and it's, you know, several hour drive from Melbourne. It seems like a pretty sleepy little, like, harbour town. How did that town sort of influence the song there?
Well, one night, Riley and I were trying to think of a name for this song because we didn't have a name and we'd been playing it at a couple gigs, and it's important to have names of songs to introduce them at the gig. And I think you brought up the reference of the movie.
Yeah, trying to make a really long-winded Midwest emo song name, like a classic.
And the reason that we went with Port Fairy is because Riley and I went camping in early 2024.
Yeah.
In Port Fairy. Mm-hmm. And we got bogged very badly, and we were bogged overnight.
Oh, no.
Yes.
So it's stuck in a swamp, essentially.
Yeah, it was like sand dunes, and there was no rocks and no anything to kind of help us get out, and I was a real pleb and I didn't even bring a shovel. Yeah.
We were digging. Riley was digging for hours. I was digging for hours. I was climbing up on top of a hill to call the...
Like SES.
So this was like a life-death situation.
Yeah.
We had no water, just beers.
Oh, dude. What are you... I forget that Australia is so dangerous, man. You guys are cooked.
Yeah.
And then...
It's kind of... I think we just kind of... associated the idea of fear. We were feeling quite a lot of fear.
Fair
in
enough.
That moment. Didn't Fair know enough. How we were going to get out. And we were stuck there overnight until, 2 o'clock the next day?
Yeah, and this is Angel came around the corner with his family. His name was Steel. And he had, like, a big four-wheel drive. And
he got us out.
Yanked us right out of there. It was good. And we were safe.
But that's why we thought of Port Fairy, because that is a bit of it's an important place for us, I would say.
Importante. Do you get that? Yeah, cool.
No, I didn't.
Now, it feels like, you know, 2025 was a really special year for you guys. What does 2026 hold? Can we expect to see more singles, potentially more new material? A wee while after this thing has sort of, you know, set for a bit.
Yeah, I think we're riding the wave of having just released the album now, practicing a lot for our upcoming gigs. We've got a gig on the 24th of January, so in a couple days' time, which is the album release gig. And we will be playing some new material. So if anyone is in Melbourne and you want to hear some new music, please come along. We are also selling merch,
cool,
which is very exciting.
Cool.
I think we're going to have a holiday after this run
for
a bit and get back nice and refreshed.
Mm.
Like you were saying, you were like, how was your holidays? But we haven't had one.
Yeah, true. True. Yeah, Come to New Zealand, gang.
Yeah.
Would love to.
It's a great spot. Have you been before?
No.
I've been to Queenstown, actually, which I'm pretty sure is quite close to Dunedin.
Yeah, it's like three-ish hours away. Okay.
Yeah.
Queenstown's fun. Oh, man. Well, yeah, hopefully we'll see you in New Zealand. But if not, definitely take that holiday. Everyone needs a holiday. I want to thank you both for your time and coming on the program. Do you have any final thoughts, words, considerations, opinions you want to leave our lovely listeners with?
Thanks for listening to the album. If you have, and if you haven't, go listen to the album.
On Bandcamp.
Some things can't be unsaid on all streaming services.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your time, Zach. This has been wonderful.
Oh. Yeah, pleasure.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Any final thoughts, Riley?
Nah, just thank you. I can't believe someone from a wholly different country wants to talk to us about this stuff, but thank you.
No, of course. My pleasure. Thank you very much, gang. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that was Mia Sansom and Riley Allardyce from the band Mellowing, who are based out in Nam, Melbourne. They've just released their debut record, Some Things Can't Be Unsaid. You can find it on all streaming platforms, as they've just said there. And we're going to be playing one of their tracks. We're going to play, I think, Wedding Riff from the album. That's the opener. It's definitely one of my top songs on the record. I think Babidi, Wedding Riff, and Untitled Fight are my faves. Let me know yours. But anyway, here is Mellowing with Wedding Riff. You're listening to The One. We'll have Kai Time after this. Keep it locked. Kia ora.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.